Good morning. Today's daf in Kedushin Ayin Gimel. We're starting on Ayin Beis Amud Beis. We're starting towards the bottom of the Amud. We're going to be starting with Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. It's about 15 lines from the bottom of the Amud, even a little bit more. Okay, Psula Yuchsin. Sensitive topic over here in the fourth parak of Kedushin, which really started the end of the third parak of Kedushin, and that is who can you marry, who can you not marry. So there are different categories of Jews, Kohen Levi, Yisrael, but then it goes on from there. 10 categories altogether that we identified in the opening Mishnah of the fourth parak. So who can marry whom? Okay, I got to check for grammar today. Yes. So thank you. I appreciate it. So the answer is you have to learn the Mishnah and the Gemara over here, and then afterwards you learn the Mishnah, then you learn the Gemara, then you learn the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, there's a lot to learn. But in other words, we are just familiarizing ourselves, meaning this is not a halacha shir, this is a gemara shir, it's a daf yomi shir. So we're just familiarizing ourselves with who the categories are and who can marry whom. So, and within that discussion, so also geography. Yesterday we learned geography. We went back to Bavel in the 5th century. We went down the rivers Tigris and Euphrates. And we looked at the Jewish communities back in the day, and which Jewish communities that flanked those two rivers had good yichus. We raided communities yichus over the last couple of days as well. The out of towners, so their yichus is right, excellent. Their yichus is suspect. Eretz Yisrael's got good yichus, but the best yichus at the Gemara is Bavel. Bavel has the best yichus. Why? So we had an historical explanation. Ezra Sofer, when coming into Eretz Yisrael to build the Bayit Sheni, so who did he bring with him? So he brought in everybody. Now, I don't mean everybody, meaning all the Jews, right? Halavai, but that didn't happen. A very significant, we can even speculate majority of the Jewish people remained in Bavel. And when meanwhile Ezra and a small band of I'm using this in the classic sense, and a small band of Zionists came to Eretz Yisrael in order to build Bayit Sheni. And who did he bring with him? So he brought not only those with fantastic yichus, but those with suspect yichus. And he brought all of them with him into Eretz Yisrael, which basically means is that he flushed out all the questionable yuchsin that existed in Bavel, and he brought them all with him to Eretz Yisrael. Oh, so in other words, what was left in Bavel? What was left in Bavel was only the best of the yichus. So now, rating the communities in terms of yichus, Bavel's number one, Eretz Yisrael's number two, and every other out-of-town community back in the day was number three. Obviously, all that has changed over the course of time. Right? There is no, I don't think there is a rating for yichus, not that I know about. But that is what we've been covering now for the last number of days. Okay, so what have we learned together so far is that in Bavel, so it's fantastic yichus, and outside of Bavel, less than fantastic. With that stated, we begin. Ayin Beis Amud Beis, about 15 lines from the bottom of the Amud. It's the first words in the line. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Zu Divrei Rabbi Meir. Ava Chachamim Amrim Kol Haaretz Becheskes Kasher Hem Omdos. Right? You saw our Mishnah? Great. I'm happy you saw our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is Shitas Rabbi Meir, meaning obviously unidentified, but we have a general rule, Stam Mishnah Ka Rabbi Meir. Our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir. Meanwhile, that's not consensus viewpoint. That's not the majority viewpoint. The majority viewpoint is Divrei Chachamim, and the Chachamim hold that Kol Haaretzos Becheskes Kasher Hem Omdos. In other words, you can go to any land, any Jewish community, all lands are good in terms of yichus, which now means that one would be able to marry somebody outside of Bavel, outside of Eretz Yisrael, and not worry about yichus. So, Amei Meshar Leila Rav Huna Bar Nosson Lemins Avisasa Michuz Yasa. So a Mamer gave a heter for Rav Huna to marry a woman who was from Mechuza. Mechuza over here, meaning an out-of-town community. and without doing a background check, without checking the yichus, and what's going on over here? And that's the Gemara's follow-up. Amrle Rav Ashi Mai Daitech. Rav Ashi says, what are you thinking? So Damer Rav Yonam Rishmol Zutiv Rebbe Meir V'chacham Memomrim Kol HaRetzos Becheskes Kasher Hem Omdos. So great. So you're thinking that I know the Mishnah Kiddushin, and I know the Mishnah Kiddushin said that only Bavel's got good yichus. I know that, but our mission is only following the Shita Rabbi Meir, and the Chachamim disagree, and we fall like the Chachamim, right? That's your whole thought process. To which the Gemara says, "V'habei Rav Kahana la masni hachi." Yeah, but Bei Rav Kahana didn't say that, I'm going to cite to you an assortment of Amoraim who do not subscribe to this viewpoint, who do not think that our Mishnah is just Das Yachid, who thinks that our Mishnah is only going like Rabbi Meir, but the Chachamim disagree. There's an assortment of Amoraim who don't believe that. An assortment of Amoraim are of the position that our Mishnah is following everybody. Our Mishnah is articulating the consensus viewpoint. So Mishum Deshmi Alemirazvidna Afil Hakilo Kiblamine. Now Amemra said, okay, great. I'm glad you lined up a number of Amoraim who argue with me. I don't care. Amemra says, I don't care. Why? Mishum Deshmi Alemirazvid Minardam. I heard this from Rav Zvid. As far as I'm concerned, Rav Zvid is a reliable source. So good. You say you're Amoraim, I have Rav Zvid, I'm happy. So as you can see, in other words, this is something that we've gone over numerous times over the last number of days, and that is that not only is it controversial, it's sensitive, right? This is a very sensitive topic, obviously. And so over here, right, a really heated debate regarding whether or not our Mishnah is expressing the majority viewpoint or our Mishnah is only expressing a minority viewpoint. We continue. Tana Rabbanan Mamzer Unasina Torah Melaseh Lavo. Right, here comes the machlokas, which I admit is going to be difficult to explain. But what's going to happen in the future? Tosos in Sanhedrin. Tosos not here. But Tosos in Sanhedrin is really really curious about this Gemara. Meaning, generally speaking, what do we say? As far as the halachic discussion is concerned, if it was historical, not meaning it's interesting, but the Gemara is not going to spend a lot of time discussing it. The Gemara's expression elsewhere is my dahava hava. Meaning, if it's something that happened in the past and it doesn't have any relevance, we don't need to discuss it. And there's another Gemara that says, Ehilchus HaMashicha, meaning that if it's something that deals with the Mashiach and the future, right, end of time, so that's also something that we're not going to really entertain. Over here, our Gemara seems to not honor the latter viewpoint. Okay. Anyway, let's see the Gemara together. Tanu Rabban Mamzer Nesina Tarim Lasilavo Div Rabbi Yossi. So according to Rabbi Yossi, what's going to happen? You're going to have Mamzerim. You're going to have Nesinim. So they are Psule Yuchsin. And what's going to happen is that in the future, so they're going to become Tahor. Okay. Now this sheet of Rabbi Yossi, number one, as I already pointed out, it's relevant for when the Mashiach comes. Okay. So in other words, so if that's true, then it's not relevant to us. And why are we discussing it? Good. I the Tosfos and Sanhedrin, by the way, I didn't mention this point, and that Tosfos and Sanhedrin asked the question. He also provides the answer. Okay, so if you'd like to see it, it's Sanhedrin, Tosfos and Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis. Okay, we're not going to go through it inside right now, but anyway, I'm just raising awareness of this basic idea. And the other point of consideration is, well, if somebody's a mamzer, so what do you think Mashiach can do? Right, wave a wand and say, you're not a mamzer. Meaning, mamzer is a halachic reality, so halachic realities are called realities. Yeah. Meaning, okay, so there's right. So what is happening over here according to the sheet of Rav Yossi? So as I said, it's going to be difficult for me to try to explain it. I'm trying, but it's definitely difficult, and it's my limitations. Meaning, it's not because Rav Yossi, you know, Rav Yossi knows full well what he's doing. Infinitely more than what I know. But in other words, but I'm obviously limited in terms of trying to explain it. Anyway, so to Mamzer Nesina Torah Melaseh Lavo Div Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Meir Omer Ein Tahorim. And Rabbi Meir says, no, it's not what's going to happen. Meaning a mamzer is going to remain a mamzer. So Amar Rabbi Yossi Velo Kfar Namar V'Zarek Alechem Ayim Tahorim Matarta Mikol. Sorry, I went into, okay. So not yet, we didn't get to the second half of the pasuk yet. So what's going to happen? The pasuk Yecheskel says that Akash Baruch Hu is going to be mitar everybody. So Amar Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says back to Rabbi Yossi, correct, but in other words, be mitar from what? So Kishu Amar Mikol Tumasechem Mikol Gilalechem V'Lam Menam Mamzeros. Yes, the Jewish people are going to receive a tahara from Tuma, not a tahara from Mamzeros. So Amar Rabbi Yossi, Kishu Amar Ataraschem Havi Amar Af Menam Mamzeros, and Rabbi Yossi says no. So, in other words, there is an additional two words at the end of the pasuk, seemingly superfluous. And what Rav Yosef would argue is, no, they're not extra words. They are come to tell me that the tahara that's going to be achieved in Bizman HaMashiach is going to be a tahara from Toma and a tahara from Mamzeres as well. Now, Bishlam Rabbi Meir, Hainu Dichsi V'yasha Mamzer Bashdod. Okay, now, according to Rebbe Meir, so I'm looking at a pasuk in Zechariah, I understand it. And that is the pasuk in Zechariah, Perek Tes, Vayashav Mamzer Ashdod. There will be a Mamzer sitting in Ashdod, meaning Bizman HaMashiach, we're going to have a Mamzer. Which, according to Rebbe Meir, yeah, because once a Mamzer, always a Mamzer. Their kids are going to be Mamzer, Mamzerim, etc., etc. There will be Mamzerim Lazilavo. Okay. It's not an uplifting thought, but in other words, but the reality is that that's it. In other words, it's a halachic reality. But Ella, the Rabbi Yossi, my Vyasha Mamzer Bashdo, but according to Rabbi Yossi, how are you reading that pasuk in Zechariah? So, kidimitargim Rabbi Yossi. So, what Rabbi Yossi would say is, look, Targum Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, obviously in Amora, right? Years after Rav Yosef, but Rav Yosef provided a Targum for Navi, for Navi, for Ksuvim, right? This is one of Rav Yosef's expertise. The Gemara quotes his Targum all the time throughout Chas. Here's just an example. And the Pasuk says as follows. Sorry. The Pasuk we already read. Vayasha Mamzer Bashdod. Now we turn to the Targum of Rav Yosef, and he explains it as follows. So the Jewish people are going to be sitting securely in their land, a land that once upon a time was a foreign area. In other words, Ashdod was a dangerous place. Okay, I know. By the way, I'm also thinking about modern. I know your family lives in Ashdod. I know that as well. Okay, so Ashdod was a dangerous place. Okay, in terms of Ashdod being so dangerous, So Rashi points out that Ashdod was not conquered during the days of Yehoshua, right? Yehoshua came in and conquered most of Eretz Yisrael, not all of Eretz Yisrael. So notably, a notable exception to the lands that to the cities that he didn't conquer is going to be Ashdod. He didn't conquer Ashdod, so Ashdod was a bit of a hot spot. Yeah. Okay. So the pasuk as in Zechariah, as understood by Rav Yosef, is that you know what's going to happen with Zman HaMashiach. So you're going to be in these hotspot communities, and it's going to be and you're going to be totally comfortable. And Mamzer, meaning Ashdod, is a bit of a Mamzer. Okay. As Alan walks in, by the way, what are you just saying? Okay. Yeah. In other words,
all I heard was Zman HaMashiach.
Okay, perfect. That's all you need to know. So, okay, good. So, in other words, so Ashdod is the kind of community that was kind of on the outs, again, for reasons that we already explained historically, and what's going to happen, Bizman HaMashiach, it's going to be a safe haven. It's all going to be a safe haven. All of Eretz Yisrael is going to be a safe haven. That is how to interpret the Pasuk according to Rav Yosef, and now Rav Yosef, no problem whatsoever. Meaning, the Pasuk is not to be understood literally, it's allegorical. So in other words, the pasuk is just simply saying everything's going to be safe and secure in Eretz Yisrael, even those cities which once upon a time were hotspots. I'm Rav Yehuda Mashmal Alacha Rabbi Yosi. So good. So Rav Yehuda Mashmal says Alacha is like Rabbi Yosi. What's going to happen to the Mamzerim Bizman HaMashiach? Tahara. I'm Rav Yosi V'ilav Dam Rav Yehuda Mashmal Alacha Rabbi Yosi Ave Asay Eliyahu Mapik Minan Savar and Savar Kolarin. And Rav Yehuda Mashmal says, Baruch Hashem, the halacha is like Rav Yosi. Because if the halacha were not like Rav Yosi, you know what Eliyahu would come do? So he'd be collecting groups and groups of people from the Jews as we're all going to Eretz Yisrael. So there'd be like a little bit of a collection being done by Eliyahu and Avi because there's so many mamzerim out there. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, the halacha is in fact like Rav Yosi. Again, Tosfos Sanhedrin. Right, that's really, in other words, you want to do some more research on today's daf, that's going to be literally one of your first stops, where he's asking the question, such an interesting Gemara, and meanwhile, an entire discussion dedicated to what's going to happen when Mashiach comes, meaning normally that is not the interest of the Gemara, that's Hilchus of the Mashiach, and meanwhile the Gemara over here discusses it at some length. No, it's not a lot of Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Here we are now on the very bottom of Ayin Beis Amud Beis, and we are going to get onto a discussion which we touched on earlier, but now here we go. Is a ger allowed to marry a mamzeris? Okay, a controversial topic. Controversial meaning it's a machlokas tonight, which we're now going to see together. Can a ger marry a mamzeris? So why yes, why no? So let's start off with why no. Right, nice and simple. I'm just introducing the Gemara. I'm going to see it together. A ger is a Jew. Right. In other words, when you convert, and so now you are in the full status of a Jew with all rights and all responsibilities and all regular. You're Jewish. Period. Right. You can. What's it called? You can. Not only can you. You're chayiv in all the mitzvahs of the Torah, and because of your obligation, you're also now presumably you have all the obligations, but you also have all the privileges of being a Jew. So in other words, and part of the privilege of being a Jew is that you have to be selective of who you marry. And you can't marry a mamzeres, right? There's an iser in the Torah for a Jew to marry a mamzeres. Who's marrying the mamzeres? The mamzeres marrying the mamzeres. Other psulim are marrying the mamzeres, but not a ger. So that would be a quick description of why can't he? So why would he be able to? Meaning, what's the other side of this issue? So it's based on the following. It's really technical. And that is that the pasuk says, lo yavo mamzer b'kal Hashem. Well, who can a mamzer not marry? He can't marry a member of kahal. So member of kahal. Now, this is a technical point, meaning that for purposes of marriage, not for any other arena of halacha, but for purposes of marriage, so what a mamzer and a mamzeres are not allowed to marry is into kahal. Now, when you convert, you're a ger. So again, you take on full status of being a Jew, but maybe, as we're about to entertain, maybe you're not incorporated within this in this category of kahal, which in this case would be a benefit to the ger, because now the ger would be allowed to marry a mamzeres, or a mamzer would be allowed to marry giyaris. So it's really just a technical point in terms of whether or not when you convert, you achieve the status of being kahal. Okay, that's the basic introduction. We're going to see all this together right now inside. Tana Rabbanan, bottom of Ayin Beis Amud Beis. Ger no se mamzeres divrei Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda amar ger lo yisa mamzeres. So here we go. Machlokis Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Meir. We touched on this machlokis just about a week ago in the daf, but here the Gemara is discussing it now head on. So echad ger veechad ev meshuchar vechalal mutarim bekohenes. Okay. And the second point, which is not open to controversy, everybody agrees, and that is all the psule kahuna only apply to the male kohanim, not female kohanim. Which means that if you're a female kohen, you're a bas kohen. So can you marry a chalal? Answers yes. Can you marry an evan meshuchar? Answers yes. Okay. All the psule kahuna are only for the male kohanim, not female kohanim. Okay, that's the second point of this brisa, and that point is not up for controversy. Everyone agrees to that. So my time with the Rabbi Yossi. So now we're going back to the first point. Can a ger marry a mamzeres? Rabbi Yossi would say yes, and Rabbi Meir would say no. Now, why is that? So my time with the Rabbi Yossi, Chamishikaleksive. So when going through the Torah and all the psule yichus, so it says the word kahal, not once, but five times in Chumash. Look at the bottom Rashi over here. I'm not going to go through it inside. Where Rashi cites all five times where the Torah talks about the psule yichus and the word kahal mentioned in a pasuk in five different psukim. Rashi cites them. By the way, Rashi does cite a sixth pasuk which the Gemara over here is ignoring. Why would the Gemara ignore it? Look at the end of the last Rashi. V'kal degabi psua daka. So somebody with crushed private area. Okay, the Isser of Ptsua Daka, which is in Parshas Ki Seitzei. So that is not being discussed over here. That pasuk is being ignored. But Rashi explains, Lo chashiv delav min psule yuchsin kamishtai. Because it's not a psul yichos. In other words, this is not a genealogy lineage issue. This is a physical psul. And therefore, it is not part and parcel of this discussion. Okay. Anyway, so there are five kahal mentioned. Now, what am I going to do with all five of them? So the Gemara now basically counts it out. Five kahals, five separate drashas. Top of Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. Number one, chad l'kohanim. Number two, chad l'leviim. So one for Kohen, one for Levi. Meaning that the word kahal now is going to incorporate those who are Kohanim, those who are Leviim. Chad l'Yisraelim, a third for Yisraelim. Okay, so now we know who now is under the umbrella of kahal. Kohen, Levi, Yisrael. We continue. Chala Mishri, Mamzer, B'Shtuki. One is allowing a Mamzer to marry a Shtuki. What is a Shtuki? Shtuki is somebody who cannot identify parents. More accurately, the Shtuki is somebody who cannot identify his father. Right? In a moment, we're going to go through the Yasufi. But Chala Mishri, Mamzer, B'Shtuki. And Chala Mishri, Shtuki, B'Yisrael. And another one, a fourth one, now Right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Thank you. Number 5, the chalim is a shtuki b'Yisrael. A shtuki is allowed to marry Yisrael. Okay, the shtuki can either go to the side of marrying a mamzer, or a shtuki can go to the side of marrying Yisrael. We're going to explain why in a moment. And kal gerim lo ker kal. So that means to say now that what have we done? Exhausted all of our kahals. So we've exhausted it. So now, where does that leave the ger? Ger is not included, not incorporated within kahal. Which now means that if a ger is not incorporated in kahal, so lo yavo mamzer bikal Hashem. A mamzer can't marry into kahal. So who is included? Who's under the umbrella of kahal? So everyone, all the aforementioned, not the ger. Ger is not included in kahal. That's according to Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yehuda, right? I'm sure, by the way, okay, whatever. I think I said Rabbi Meir a couple times. Anyway, correction. Rabbi Yehuda argues with Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda, according to Levi Mechad Kal Nafke, Yasser Lola Kal Gerim. So as far as understanding, she does Rabbi Yehuda. So this is just going to be an accounting issue. In other words, this is classic Gemara in terms of how we have 5 drashas, we have 5 categories. So what are we going to do according to Rabbi Yehuda? So number one, approach number one is that what we're going to do is we're going to take 1 and 2, we're going to consolidate. Meaning Cohen Levi is not 2 categories, it's rather 1 category. So they're going to fit now into 1 kahal. So now what does that do? It frees up a kahal. What are we going to do with that free kahal? Put the gear into that slot. Okay, so it's an accounting issue. That's one approach in terms of Rav Yehuda. A second approach. And mamzer b'shtuki b'shtuki b'Yisrael mechad kal nafka. Or the another accounting maneuver is the following. We'll keep Cohen and Levi separate, but what we're going to do is that the 4th and 5th kahal will consolidate those 2. 4 and 5. Why? Because remember, mamzer can marry a shtuki can marry Yisrael. That's all going to be generated within 1 kahal. Why? Because lo yavo mamzer bekal Hashem, mamzer vada hu de lo yavo, ha mamzer safek yavo. Bekal vada hu de lo yavo, ha bekal safek yavo. Because when the Torah says that a mamzer can't marry into kahal, you have to be, in order to trigger the pasuk, you have to be definitively a mamzer, and you have to be definitively kahal. If on either side of that equation you have a suffix, then it would be okay. Okay. Now, mind you, by the way, I'll just pause for just a moment right now. In other words, it's a suffix and an isser daraisa. This is a classic discussion, which I'm just teasing it. We're not going to have it. Right, I want to complete the daf. But in other words, what do we normally say on a suffik daraisa? Suffik daraisa, we normally go l'chumra. Okay, so, and over here, the Gemara doesn't mention it at all in terms of just the general principle and how does that apply over here. Okay, so good. I paused. Pause is over. We're back to the Gemara. So in other words, another approach within Rav Yehuda is we'll take category 4, category 5, we'll consolidate that into 1, leaving us over 1 kahal. What are we going to do with that extra kahal? Gerim. Gerim are going to be included. That is a second approach within Rav Yehuda, and the Gemara gives the third approach. So the Gemara says, what we'll do is we'll keep 4, 4, we'll keep 5, 5. We will not separate them. And the time of the Rav Yehuda, mehacha, hakahal chuka achas lachem lager agar. And what we'll do for Rabbi Yehuda is that we will find another kahal in the Torah. In other words, a 6th kahal in the Torah. So, Ula Rabbi Yossi, Chuka Achas, Hifzika Inyan. And Rabbi Yossi will say, no, I fundamentally disagree. That pasuk over here does not generate a new kahal. Why? Because hakal, if the word ger would have followed immediately after kahal, I give it to you. But the pasuk reads, hakal, Chuka Achas, Lachem, V'lager Hagar. So in other words, the ger and the kahal are not juxtaposed one right next to the other. There is separation in them in the pasuk. No. So that pasuk is not going to qualify in terms of giving the ger kahal status. Okay, so where do we have right now? We are fundamental, really basic machlokas, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Can a ger marry a mamzeres? According to Rabbi Yossi, yes. According to Rabbi Yehuda, no. And the Gemara, we just went through the details of the drashas of how Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda arrive at their conclusion. Okay, so now, psule kahuna only applies to the male kohanim, not female kohanim. Misayela the rav dam Rabbi Yehuda, my rav lo huzaruk sheros liinas lepsulim. Kisheros, right, nice Jewish kohanim. Sorry, let's do that better. Nice Jewish female kohanim. So there is no problem for them to marry psulim, meaning they can marry psula kahuna. They can marry a halal. They can marry a ger. They can marry an eved meshuchar, meaning the only psul kahuna is only for the males, not for the females. Okay, period. Darush Rabbi Zera ben Mechuza. Okay, so Rabbi Zera goes to the town of Mechuza. Okay, not the first time in today's daf that we've gone over the town of Mechuza. So who's living in Mechuza? Okay, it's out. Mechuza's out of town. Okay, so lots of gerim living in Mechuza. Okay. Generally speaking, by the way, I don't really know numbers. I don't know demographics, but generally speaking, I do find that the out of town communities do gravitate towards the convert community. So anyway, Rabbi Zera Mechuza says the following: Ger mutar bar mamzeres. If you're a ger, you're allowed to marry a mamzeres. In other words, basically what he's saying is the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Okay, so we're sitting comfortably over here in the Daf Yomi Shir, and to us, right, no one's losing their mind. Okay, but when you say it in Mechuza, where there's a good segment of the population that are gerim, and they hear something like that, and so, and in other words, it's, you know, with no context, so it can be a little bit rough. And not only that, ragmu kulei alma be'esrogaihu. So what did the community do? So they didn't like the psak, so they took their esrogim and they pelted the rabbi with the esrogim. Reasonable response. Now, the truth of the matter is that I'm totally ready to understand and explain their reaction, and that is that at first glance, it sounds rough. Meaning, because effectively what you're saying is, Gerim, right, congratulations for converting. In other words, great that you entered into the Jewish people. But you know what? Right, a born Jew can't marry a mamzer. Yeah, you guys can marry a mamzer. Right? In other words, it sounds a little provocative. So I'm a Rav Amika de Darsh Melsuki Hai Beduch de Shechicha Giyure. So a Rav over here says, okay, and what I want to introduce you to is something called common sense. Okay, a little bit of common sense. You're going to go to a town where so many of them are gerim, and you're going to start off like that, and you're going to open up with a ger can marry a mamzeres. No sugarcoating. No niceties. No formalities. No hello. In other words, Rava says to him, that's not how you darshan, right? Don't get up there and don't start talking like that. Meaning what you're saying is true and it's correct, but in other words, but you have to package. And so what Rava, it's great. In the Gemara, we're learning that, in other words, a lot of it is packaging. And you got to package it correctly. So Darush Rava ben Mechuza. Okay, so now Rava says, allow me please to show you like what would be a better way to present this information. So Rava gets up in Mechuza and he says, the following ger muter b'kohenes. A ger is allowed to marry a kohenes. Now, we know, meaning we're learning the daf. In other words, we have now a basic understanding of halacha. So we know, why is that? Because all the psule yichus, all the psule kohanim only apply to the male kohanim, not to the female kohanim. So why is a ger allowed to marry a kohenes? We know the answer, because a kohenes is not bound by any of the isuri psul. Okay, good. So in other words, so on one hand, it's true. On the other hand, right, it's flattering. Oh, I can marry the daughter of a Kohen? Oh, look at that. And ta'anuhu b'shiraya. And when they heard Rava say that, so what did they do? They adorned him with silk. In other words, they threw at him silk robes. And in other words, they gave him gifts. And oh my gosh, this guy's amazing. And then, hada darsh lehu ger mutar bar mamzeres. And now he says, a ger is allowed to marry a mamzeres. So Amrle, I've seen the Tul Kamaisa. So they said to him, you know what, Rava? We take back all our gifts. And you lost all your good graces with us. Meaning, on one hand, you told us we're allowed to marry Kohenes. Thank you very much. But now you told us we're allowed to marry Mamzerim? A Mamzeris? Like, what does that mean? What does it say about us? So Amrle, so Rava says to them, what Rava says, what do you mean? I did you a service. You can thank me. So Ibai Mahachanasiv, Ibai Mahachanasiv. What I just did is I expanded your pool of eligibility. You can marry a Kohenis. You can marry a Mamzeris. Meaning I just made it so that you have more women available and accessible that you're allowed to marry. Right? Thank you. Now, did the Gerim community, did they like Rava? Did they like the way Rava presented it? Did they not? Anyway, but the point is, however, Rava certainly made his point, and that is that when presenting halacha, so you do have to be careful about how you package it and how you present it. obviously no distortion can be made. This is such an obvious point. No distortion can be made about what the halacha is. The halacha is the halacha, but however, when presenting it, so it's got to be presented in a somewhat more palatable way. V'hilchus ager mutar b'kohenes u'mutar b'mamzeres. So mutar b'kohenes lo huzuk sheres l'nas l'psulim u'mutar b'mamzeres k'Rabbi Yosi. And the Gemara says over here, we'll have a clear-cut conclusion. Right? So Hedi will be happy. And that is that the Gemara's conclusion over here is that a ger is allowed to marry a kohenes. Stop. A ger is allowed to marry a mamzeres. Also, stop. Meaning that's the halacha. The halacha falls like Rav Yosi. I will add over here that even though the Gemara's conclusion is really clear that a ger is allowed to marry a mamzeres, there is a discussion. I know it's funny. We said the halacha. The halacha is very clear. Yes, but. I'll just share quickly with you what the yes, but is. Yes, but. A ger marries a mamzeres. What are the children going to be? We know the answer to this. The children are going to be mamzeres. Okay. So despite the fact that there is no iser whatsoever for the ger to marry the mamzeres, but what you are in fact doing, however, is that you're creating mamzeres. So on one hand, the marriage itself is perfectly legal and sanctioned. But in other words, what you're also doing is that you are making more mamzerim amongst the Jewish people. Is that a Jewish value that we should minimize the amount of mamzerim amongst the Jewish people? Good. I'll leave it off at that. In other words, this is a later discussion to be had. In other words, the Gemara does not raise this issue, but in other words, later, it's late Rishonim, early Achronim discuss this very point. I'm giving all of us something to think about. And it's not just to think about, but it is discussed. Okay. Elohein Shtuki. So we are 9 Gimel Amud Aleph. We are about halfway down on the Amud, first wide line. And we are now moving our attention to the next class and category of people. And that's going to be people that cannot identify their father or people that cannot identify the parents altogether. Right? Abandoned children. A real Rachmanis. So over here, what do we say? So their yichus now obviously is called into question. If you can't identify who your father is, so you got yichus issues. Now, a lack of identifying paternity in of itself, right? In other words, your mother's Jewish, you're Jewish. The problem, of course, is that who impregnated mom? In other words, did mom get impregnated through an act of iser? And if, in fact, that's in fact true, so then the child is going to be a mamzer. Well, over here, he can't identify the father, so at least there is a possibility we're going to discuss momentarily. How big a possibility? But at least now there's a possibility that the child is a mamzer. Okay, so, Amar Rava, let me just read the heading. Elohein Shtukin Kol Shemakir. Okay, and just to finish the sentence of the Mishnah, you can identify who your mother is, but you can't identify your father as you simply don't know. Amar Rava Dvar Torah Gishtuki Kasher. Okay, so let's go according to the strict letter of the law. Min HaTorah. Can a Shtuki marry a Jew? Sure, no problem whatsoever. My time. Okay, so let's play this out. Why should that be? Because Rav Ksherim Etzlam, in terms of who the father is and who impregnated mom, Rav Ksherim Etzlam. And anybody who has relations with her, not anybody. The majority of the people who have relations with her are a Kasher. Umiyu psulim etzla. Now, in other words, why don't we just assume it's the husband? So apparently right now the answer is there is no husband. In other words, she had relations with a man, but without marriage. Okay. And so there is no husband of what to talk about. So obviously now, in terms of trying to identify who dad is, so dad is not married to mom. So, in other words, of the pool of possibilities of who it is, any man in the community. Now, most of the men in the community who had relations with her, so it was not under the framework of marriage, that's not correct. That wasn't right. But that's not going to create a psul. So now the Gemara argues as follows. So most of the men who impregnate, if they were to impregnate mom ksher metzla, umi psul metzla, now there are going to be a select number of men, really small minority, who are going to create psul, i.e. relatives. Okay? Right? Really. Uncomfortable to even discuss, but in other words, halacha. In other words, halacha demands that we have to take every possibility into consideration. But it's a minority. So I azla inu legaba called the parish meruba parish. Now, if the father went to her, so this falls under the category of called the parish, meaning in the world of tarovis, where we're looking at a candidate from a pool of people. So if one of those were to move towards her, the rule is called the parish meruba kaparish. Meaning then we could go with statistics. The majority of people would result in the majority of men would result in a kosher child. And so therefore we can go with statistics, and statistics would dictate that the child is in fact kosher. That's called the parish meruba kaparish. And my time, my amart, dilmazla ihi lagabayu avale kavua, v'chol kavu kemechza mechzadami. So, and let's go over the other possibility. She went to him, which means that he's stationary and she was moving. So if she went to him, so now this falls under the category of kavua. And we have a rule, kol kavua kemechza mechzadami, that when the safek is stationary and not moving, so then we take statistics, we throw them out the window, and we just simply say it's a 50-50. Okay, so it's 50-50. The Gemara says that's also not a big deal. Why? Because remember what we learned earlier this morning, that when it comes to the Yisr Mamzer, it's only Mamzer Vadai, not Mamzer Safik. When it comes to Kal, it's only Kal Vadai, not Kal Safik. So over here, even if the child is a Mamzer Safik, so what? Meaning a Mamzer Safik is allowed to marry into the Jewish people. So, however you're going to go with, either the route of Kol Deparish or the route of Kol Kavua, doesn't matter. In other words, the resulting child is in fact going to be mutter. So now, mina Torah, dvar Torah, so you're allowed to marry the shtuki. Ah, so then why did the Mishnah say you're not allowed to? That's a good question. Matamar mishtuki pasol, gzera shama yisachosa me'aviv. Over here, of a gzera, of a concern, meaning we don't know who the dad is. So now when the shtuki goes and marries, there's a possibility, and the Gemara in a moment is going to recognize how small a chance it is. But there's a possibility that who is he marrying? He's marrying his sister. He doesn't know who dad is. So the Gemara says, "Ela mi'ata shtuki shtuki v'shtuki lo yisa shama yisacho sami aviv." So the Gemara says, "Okay, so then a shtuki should marry a shtukis." In other words, we already learned in our Mishnah that a shtuki is allowed to marry shtukis. But if you're going to use your argument of you may be marrying your sister, so the shtuki and shtukis get together, so it may be that we just saw a union of brother and sister. So the Gemara says, kolki hani maznu va'azle. So the Gemara says, come on. In other words, how many times is dad gonna father a child out of wedlock? With in other words, and mom is going to continue to be mezana with this man? And in other words, the Gemara says it's really unlikely. What about the daughter of a shtukis? Are you allowed to marry the daughter of a shtukis? So the answer is yes, you are. The Gemara says, why? Why would you be allowed to? In other words, shouldn't we be concerned that maybe you're marrying your sister? The Gemara says it's highly unlikely that's going to happen. So the Gemara says, okay, so to the shtukis herself, why are we worried? Let me hear that again. We're worried because we're afraid that maybe the shtukis is going to end up marrying, or the shtuki is going to end up marrying his sister. The Gemara says, come on, it's unlikely. It's really unlikely that's going to happen. So the Gemara says, fine. That's not the explanation. You know what the explanation is? It's a chumrah. Mala asu biyuchsin. When it comes to yichus, so the chachamim introduced chumras. They introduced stringencies. So really, as we just argued, a shtuki me'ikar adin, you're allowed to marry a shtuki. In other words, at worst, he's a suffik mamzer, but you're allowed to marry a suffik mamzer. Good. So then why is the shtuki going to be prohibited? Why is there a ban on marrying a shtuki? Because it's just simply a chumrah that they introduced into the world of yichus. Okay. Amar Rav Advar Torah, Asufi, kosher. And what are we going to do? Same exact discussion regarding the Asufi. Asufi cannot identify neither mom nor dad, an abandoned child. So my time, Ishis Ish Bebala Tola. So the Gemara says, normally when it comes to a married woman, so who impregnates a married woman? So the vast majority of the time, her husband. So my ika miot arusos miot miot shalach balem lemedina sayam. So the Gemara says, okay. So what if the arusa were to get pregnant? What if the husband went away? So now, there is now a chance, more of a chance, that a mom was impregnated by not her husband, but somebody other than her husband, which means then that the child is a mamzer. So have pago paga. So again, the Gemara just reiterates by the Asufi, same basic issue. At worst, the Asufi is a Suffolk mamzer. Again, who's mom? Who's dad? He can't identify. But even if mom were married, chances are she was impregnated by her husband. There's also a chance that she was impregnated by another man. Again, we don't know. All this is speculation. So at best we could say, Suffolk. Maybe the child's a mamzer. To which the Gemara says, okay, but again, Suffolk mamzer, you're allowed to marry. So the Gemara says, let me just finish the thought. And so why can't you marry an Asufi? Because the Asufi and the woman he's marrying may be brother and sister. And you know what's going to happen, because we just saw this by the Shtuki. The Gemara is going to point out, but that's really unlikely. Let's see the Gemara inside. So the Gemara says, why do we allow the Asufi to marry the Asufis? Can't they be brother and sister? The Gemara says, yeah, but come on. That's unlikely. So the Gemara says, so what about the daughter of an Asufi who you are allowed to marry? And why? Meaning, can't you end up potentially marrying your sister? So the Gemara says, because it's unlikely. So the Gemara says, okay, so an Asufi marrying somebody, it's really unlikely they're marrying your sibling. So the Gemara, again, arriving at the same conclusion, and that is, it's a chumra. You're right. In other words, by Yichus, the Chachamim wanted to make sure that Yichus was more preserved and more intact, and so therefore, chumras. And that is that when it comes to the Shuki, when it comes to the Asufi, you cannot marry them. Even though me'ikar adin, it would be acceptable, it would be okay. Amar Rava Baravuna Matzah Mahu. Okay. The remainder of today's daf is extraordinarily sad. What is going to be the status of an abandoned child? So Rachmanis, you find an abandoned child, and what is its status in terms of yichus, Jewish yichus, etc., etc.? Amar Rava Baravuna Matzah Mahu. So the Einbo Mishum Asufi. So you find a baby and you find the baby was gemalt. So now, despite the fact that it's abandoned, but you can assume now that the baby is not a Asufi. It doesn't have the, in other words, obviously it was an abandoned child. But in other words, it doesn't have the status and the category of an Asufi, of an abandoned child. And therefore, in other words, the yichus of this child is intact and a Jew can marry this child when the child grows up. Mishalti Hadme, and we're going to do this a number of times. In other words, we're going to basically look at forensic evidence and see whether or not the child was cared for after it was born. Meaning the basic idea of the Gemara is that if after birth the parents just simply discarded it and disregarded it, so then halachically has the status of an Asufi. However, if care was taken for this baby, so then we assume that's not an Asufi. That's the basic idea of these Gemaras. So, Mishalte Hadme Einbo Mishum Asufi. Let's say it got a good chiropractic adjustment. Now, I'm using modern terminology because that's what I know. In other words, I know chiropractor. So back in the day, what they used to do, I can't describe it any better than what I'm doing right now because I simply don't know, but they gave the child, the baby, right after it's born, like some sort of adjustment. Okay. It was care for the child back in the day, care for the baby. So if that was done, if such an adjustment was done, so then, not an Asufi. Shaif Mishcha, Malakuchla, Ramachumre, Tali Pitke, Tali Kamiya, Ein Bo Mishum Asufi. If, let's say, you had the baby showed any kind of medical treatment, application of oil, something on the eye, they tie the baby up in ways I can't explain, they put a Kamiya on the baby, any kind of therapy that was done to the baby shows that it was not an abandoned baby. Again, I'm using the word abandoned over here legally. It's not an Asufi. Now again, why is the baby discovered in the street? Who knows? But because care was taken to the baby, so it doesn't have the halachic status of being abandoned. So let's say the baby was left hanging on a tree. Again, I told you, it's really sad. These are sad gemaras about babies that were just left. So if it was hung on a tree, So e machalei chaya yesh ba misha masufi v'imla v'im ba misha masufi. And so over here, what kind of forensic evidence do we need to see? How high was it tied on the tree? I know it's kooky, but in other words, if it was tied low enough where an animal could have gone to it, the parents definitely disregarded. They wanted to dispense with the baby, and so therefore the child has the status of an asufi. On the other hand, if it was tied high enough where it would have been protected, obviously it's abandoned. In other words, whatever. In other words, there was some care done to the baby. The baby does not have the halachic status of an asufi. Zardasa. So if it was placed in a tree, zardasa is a type of tree. What is it? What does he call it? What's the? What kind of tree is it? Oh, okay. Or whatever. I don't know. Okay, good. So smicha lamasa yesh ba misha masufi v'imla v'im ba misha masufi. Okay, so if this tree is proximate to the city, non-abandoned child. If it's not proximate to the city, an abandoned child. And again, over here, I'm making the same point again, but I just want to be clear. Both are abandoned. In other words, but if it was abandoned in a manner where the child would be found immediately by somebody else, so the parents, for whatever reason, financial, in other words, the baby's yichus is good, it's just that the parents, whatever, for whatever reason, couldn't handle it, but it's not a yichus issue. If, on the other hand, if it was left out in the wilderness, so clearly what the parents wanted to do was discard the baby and disregard the baby, so it's a yichus issue, and therefore the child is the status of an asufi. Baby was abandoned in shul. If the shul is near town, so then not in a sufi. The shul is way out there. I don't know what the shul is doing way out there, but the shul is way out there. Child is in a sufi. So let's say the baby was left in a pit where. I don't mean to be punny right now, but in a pit with pits. So if that's in fact true, so these pits are way out of town. The child is in a sufi. Charifsa de Nahara. So ein bo mishum asufi be pishrei yesh bo mishum asufi. Let's say the baby was left in a water, in like a little basket in the water. Moshe. And yes, we're all thinking it, right? In other words, that right, Moshe. So if it's charifta de nahara, in other words, in a large area of water where there are many boats around it, so in other words, not in a sufi. If on the other hand, left in water where there is no traffic, there is no boat traffic around, so that's in a sufi. See the rishus harabim mishum asufi rishus harabim yesh bo mishum asufi. Now, if it's see the rishus harabim, right? You and I would call it a sidewalk. Again, I'm just using my modern conventions, right? Sidur Rishos HaRabim is basically off the side of the street. Okay, I don't know if sidewalk is a good example, but doesn't matter. So Sidur Rishos HaRabim, Eima Mishum Asufi, Rishos HaRabim, Yeshba Mishum Asufi. So Sidur Rishos HaRabim is a somewhat more protected area. And so therefore, some care was taken to the baby. Baby does not have the legal status of an Asufi. If, however, left right there in the middle of the street, Where people are walking through, and it's not safe just to be lying there in the middle of the street, discarded, that baby's an asufi. I'm a Rava. Uvishne Rava named Bo Mishum Asufi. Now Rava says that I'm going to put in the following clause, okay, an exception. And that is that if we're talking about years of famine, so then the child does not have a legal definition of an asufi. Now how do Rava Ahaya? The Gemara says, wait one second. That qualification of Rava was going on which case? We went over so many cases right now. So Ahaya, Ilema Rishos HaRabim, I did the Shnei Ravon Katalalei. So the Gemara says, are we talking about where you left him in the middle of the street? You're leaving him in the middle of the street is basically leaving the baby to die. And what difference does it make whether there's famine, there's no famine? Meaning, if the parents left the baby in the middle of the street, so that is a discarded baby, and that's an Asufi, and it doesn't matter whether it's a year famine, not a year famine. So Ella Tzidah Rishos HaRabim, my year Shnei Ravon, afilu shalom, below Shnei Ravon. So the Gemara says, are we talking about the side of the street? Side of the street, the child is not a Sufi, whether it is or whether it isn't a famine. So this qualification of famine of Rava, what was he talking about? So Elakidma de Rava Aha. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm with you. Rava was qualifying the following. Aha damarav Yehuda amar Rabbi Abba amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Zavdi amar Rav kol zman shebashuk avivim o ne'manim alav nesaf min hashuk in ne'manim alav my time amar Rava hovi yasa alav shema sufi amar Rava I'm sorry hovi yasa alav shema sufi. Let's pause for just a moment. Okay, reclaiming the baby, the abandoned baby. So are the parents credible when reclaiming the abandoned baby that is theirs? So the Gemara basically says, right? I'm going to give somewhat more of a modern approach. If the baby was taken to the orphanage, that's it. The baby now has the status of an asufi, and the parents no longer have credibility to claim it's theirs. If, however, the parents come before the baby is collected and brought to the orphanage, so then they have credibility to say that it's theirs. Okay. That's the halacha of Rav. The ne'manus of the parents to reclaim their abandoned baby is only going to be prior to the baby being collected to the orphanage. However, Amar Rav of Shnei Ravon, Afapisha Nesaf, Menashuk Aviv Imo Ne'emanim Alav, Shnei Ravon. Let's say if it's years of famine. So years of famine obviously lead to desperation. And so we're gonna extend a little bit more credibility and courtesy to the parents. Meaning over here, it is an extraordinarily stressful time. They had a baby. They don't think they could feed the baby. They don't think they could support the baby. So they leave the baby out there. However, after, right, you can only imagine what they're going through. After some time, they say, you know what? We're gonna raise the baby. So now they go back and reclaim the baby. If it's Shnei Ra'avon, says Rava, so now even though the orphanage already collected the baby, we're gonna extend courtesy to the parents. We're gonna allow the parents to reclaim their baby. That's what Rava was commenting on. The comment of Rav, the halacha of Rav. Okay, I'm going to pause here. Yeah. Okay, tomorrow we'll start with Rav Chista and Shlosha Ne'emanim La'alta. Okay, a couple of credibility gemaras. We'll start with tomorrow. Okay, really, really good work today in terms of how much we covered. We covered a lot. Okay, we went over La'asid Lavo, what's going to happen to the Mamzerim. That machlokus, which I admitted, it's a struggle to explain that machlokus. That machlokus between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi says, Mamzerim are going to be kasher la'asid lavo. And Rabbi Meir says, no. And how to explain that machlokus? And how to explain the pasuk in Zechariah? Okay. So that was point number one. Point number two we did today. A ger marrying a mamzeris. That's the machlokus between, I'm going to say correctly right now. And that's the machlokus between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi says that a ger can marry a mamzeris. And Rabbi Yehuda says no. And in a brief summary nutshell, the question becomes, are gerim considered part of kahal? Because we know that the mamzer is not allowed to marry within kahal. So when a ger becomes a ger, he's a full-fledged Jew, but does he come under the umbrella of kahal? Rabbi Yossi says no, he does not. And therefore, a ger is allowed to marry a mamzeris. And that's in fact the halacha. A ger is allowed to marry a mamzeris. And a ger is also allowed to marry kohenis as well. Okay, those are the two halachic conclusion points that brought us to Ein Gimel Amud Aleph. Then what we discussed is Shtuki and Asufi. Shtuki can identify father. Asufi, abandoned, can't identify either of his parents. So the halach is that you're not allowed to marry Shtuki and Asufi. Why not? So here, as a quick summary, Mala Asa B'yuchsin, because of a chumra. In other words, the Chachamim wanted to really safeguard and protect Yichus, and so therefore it's a chumra. May Ikar Adin, you're allowed to. But the Chachamim instituted and legislated that you're not allowed to. And then, the last part of today's daf, forensic evidence in terms of whether or not the child has the status of being an abandoned child. If any kind of care was taken towards the child, so the child does not have the status of being an asufi. And what is care? So that basically is what we covered on Ein Gemel Amud Beis.